We all have our morning routine.
The kids ain't gonna learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie, let's go. .985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
617-779-0985.
Listen, all you mother...
Whoa! Come on!
I about said something
last night. All right. Intern Nick, who was gravely ill, he came in on Friday and was immediately told to leave.
Oh, he looked like a bag of death. Like, he was late. Like, he didn't show up. Like, yeah, at 6 o'clock, he wasn't here. We're like, where is he? So we called, and I woke him up, I think, around 7 o'clock. And that's not like Nick. Like, Nick isn't like a Slack employee. This was very strange. So I said, hey, well, you know, come on in. He's like, okay. So he gets here, and the guy looks like he'd been hit by a bus. Like, his eyes were beet red. He looked like he literally just rolled out of bed.
Yeah, I never do this, but I'm like, get out of the studio.
Well, I told him that. I'm like, I can't get sick. You got to go home.
And he looked like a raccoon. Like, he had big dark circles over his eyes. And now he is in the hospital. Can we give Nick a call, wake him up there in the hospital and see what's doing?
Yeah, he wasn't supposed to be in today, but this is his big week.
I guess his girlfriend said that he was in the hospital.
Jeez, I hope he's all right. I mean, something that lasts, what? I mean, if it was Thursday when he first got sick, so, I mean, we're 5 days in now?
Yeah, but I wonder if it's one of those things that he's going to the hospital because he has, like, something happened to his pancreas, or if he's in the hospital for dehydration.
Well, I don't know.
When was the last time you were in the hospital because you specifically were sick?
Like,
not vertigo, but you were sick. Like, you had a stomach ache.
Oh, I mean, I think the last time I was in there for being, like, it was when I had the diverticulitis. That's it.
Now, did you spend the night in there?
No. That was, like, 4 hours I was in there. I was in there for about four, maybe 5 hours.
Did you
give
me one of them enemas?
No. Later on, I had to get one.
Ooh,
down the road.
Whooshy.
It wasn't enema. It was a colonoscopy.
Oh, no, I got one of those.
Yeah, no. They gave you a bunch of painkillers, and then I forgot what else they did, but all I know is that was the worst pain I've ever been in my life, ever. Yeah.
So, can we call Nick and see what's doing? Yeah, give him a call.
Live from the hospital bed?
Yeah, I want to see what's doing. Okay. I mean, if it's something bad, then we can feel bad. If it's just that he's dehydrated... So, you know, go out there and drink yourself some Mountain Dews.
Seriously, get some water in you and let's go.
Yeah. What are you missing work for?
Yeah, I'm worried. You can't be dehydrated for 5 days, right?
No, I think that's exactly what would happen. I would think that you would have had the sweet, sweet Rhea and you'd be throwing up and that you can't, like, really... you can't really rehydrate through your mouth, so they have to put you on some sort of saline solution.
Yeah, because this is his week. This is not just his only job here. He also works for the people who throw Boston Calling. So all week long, they've already started setting up the stages down the street. Have you seen it?
No.
Yeah, I pulled in. Like, the stages are, like, or at least one of them is up, and they just have to continue.
It's next,
like,
to the Harvard football stadium? Is that where it is?
Yeah, it's right down the street where Soldiers Field and Sturo meet.
Yep.
And it's quite a production to the point where, as I said, it takes like a week and a half to put it up and tear it down.
I'm worried that they're not going to be able to pull it off without Nick. I think he's really the cog that makes that whole thing go.
Maybe.
I think that Nick not being there is... I don't know how it's going to run.
Yeah, think of all the people he promised to get in for free.
I know.
This could be difficult.
And then I know the Red Box job is out the window, so... He doesn't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't do that anymore. He does not do Redbox. Who's still doing Redbox?
I guess Nick was the last of the Mohicans.
Like, when's the last time you, like, rented a DVD and just stuck the old DVD in the old DVD player?
My wife does. There's one at the Stop and Shop by where we go, and Stephanie's a fan of getting a movie for the children and then not returning it for about 6 months.
But doesn't everybody have, like, on demand now?
Yeah.
Like, if you have, like, a cable box, or you have, like, an Apple TV, or you have, like, just one of those Fire Sticks, I mean, everyone pretty much, if you have a computer, you can shoot it up on your TV.
But there's nothing like, you know, you get to use the machine and put money in, and then the disc magically appears.
You have to return it, like a pain in the ass.
Yeah, and then you got to go back to the grocery store and find parking and go back and return it, or you get fined.
It's extremely convenient, yes.
And then Nick would go like, oh, I put, you know, 20,000 miles on my car every month. And you'd say, what a job. What a great job.
By the way, speaking of stuff like on the internet that you can shoot up on your TV, I have had no less than three people this weekend tell me that the Karate Kid thing, Cobra Kai, where it has Daniel LaRusso and Johnny together, is excellent. Like, Mike not Lockhart. Just good.
Mike Lockhart came in here and was telling me how good it was this morning.
He said it's like 100 times better than he ever expected it to be. To me, I thought it was a joke. I thought it was like a Funny or Die type thing that they did.
I thought it was just like one episode, like one thing. It's a whole series.
It's like 10 different episodes.
They're all each a half an hour.
Yeah, but it's on YouTube, but that's very confusing.
Once again, as I said, you just got to learn how to just flick it up on your TV.
I know how to do it, but still, I don't trust it. It's YouTube.
It's just regular YouTube. You don't have to sign up for like an extensive
You might
YouTube
have to.
Thing, or...
Hey, Mike, did you have to like do that YouTube Red thing? Do you have
Does
to, or can anybody normally watch it?
Yeah, so you can watch the first two episodes free on YouTube, but then you have to sign up for YouTube Red, and it's $9.99 a month.
So it's like getting Hulu or something like that.
Yeah, so as soon as it was done, I just canceled it. So
Well, now you're playing with fire.
Oh, yeah. So you paid your $10 and that's all you're going to pay?
That's it.
Okay.
I'm done.
No,
it was $10 well spent, trust me.
Do you have Hulu?
I do. I just signed up for it last week.
Oh, baby, you took
and all
my
I could
advice.
Think of was Hulu.
Yeah, you got to go get Hulu.
Okay.
Yeah, see, that's why I knew that Cobra Kai thing was going to be a whole bunch of red tape. That you were going to have to, like, why do I want to pay for YouTube? There's not even pornography on it. Now you get yourself Hulu, and then you enjoy, they have everything on there.
The Handmaid's Tale.
Mm-hmm. Starring a woman who's knee-deep in Scientology.
Is she Elizabeth Moss? Yeah, she's Scientologist?
Elizabeth Moss, according to my wife, is very into Scientology. But yes, the whole red tube thing, very nerve-wracking.
Red tube?
That's right. That's what it's called, red tube.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
I don't think that's it. I think RedTube is a porn site.
RedTube is what it's called, right?
No, it's YouTube Red. Which maybe they should have changed their name.
I understand the confusion.
All right,
but yes.
Now we're overcorrecting people. Colin, go ahead.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey.
Hey. So I just heard you guys talking about Cobra Kai, and some points. Number one, 3 month trial. Just use it, watch it, dump it. That easy. No cost or anything. Number two. If you play the Karate Kid and you kid, you gotta watch it because Johnny Lawrence is pretty much stuck in 1989. But the writers make it work so well with the modern generation too that he's trying to teach. And like I said, these are the same guys who wrote Hot Tub Time Machine.
Is it?
Oh, wow, you've really sold it.
Well, listen, if it doesn't have Jaden Smith, I'm not going to watch it.
No,
he's the real Karate Kid. It doesn't have Will Smith.
What a horrible movie that was.
Jesus. Was that a positive that they had written Hot Tub Time Machine?
Hot Tub Time Machine wasn't bad.
It
didn't
suck.
It wasn't bad. It was kind of like, you know, surprising.
Name three things that happened in it.
Oh, Hot Tub Time Machine was kind of funny. That was the one with John Cusack and whatever. And,
name three things that happened in it.
See, I thought that the guy from The Office, his character was really funny.
Okay, name three things back that
time.
Happened
Well,
in
he
the
hooked
movie.
Up with that one chick and he started kept crying the entire time. And
okay,
she was like
one.
Getting all disturbed by that. Oh, and then there was the guy, Rob Kaudry. He, I don't remember. I just remember being okay.
Yeah, so if you can't give me three things, I'm telling you that it wasn't true. No, that was one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember one.
One and a half.
Yeah. There's a sequel to that, by the way.
Yes, I know that.
And it did not do
well. Missed that one
No,
also.
It was such a success that what's-his-name didn't even come back. The main star.
Cusack.
Cusack was gone.
Why was he in it in the first place?
Because I don't think he's got very much going on.
What else is he going to do?
Yeah, he's hosting like screenings of Gross Point Blank for the anniversary.
High Fidelity.
Really?
And Gross Point Blank he did as well.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because the High Fidelity one's coming up.
Yeah. All right. Dan Roach is over there in Cleveland. He loves taking Instagram videos of people warming up for the game to prove that he's there. Hashtag Celtics.
Hashtag playoffs.
Hashtag WBZ television.
Hashtag see us rise.
This is 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow us on Twitter at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A little extra effort could earn you a star.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final 19 seconds now. They will not have to shoot again. A long 4 days for the Cavs to try and figure it out. But it wasn't that complicated. They left Boston knowing they needed LeBron James' supporting cast to rise up to get back in the series. They did that, and then some. They dominate Game 3, start to finish, and they hand the Celtics easily their worst loss of the year. The final score, Cleveland 116, Boston 86.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. I don't think it's a huge surprise that the Celtics lost. I guess 30 points was not what people expected, but obviously a lot of people concerned about their struggles on the road in the playoffs.
I was surprised at the just complete lack of effort, like that nobody showed up.
Yeah, there was no run. Yeah. That's what I was shocked at. They didn't even take a run at it.
I was surprised that in the Eastern Conference Finals, they gave us one of their worst games of the year. Like, I didn't recognize that team that was out there, and I guess if you're going to lose, it's good to get absolutely humiliated because maybe you get shamed into playing harder in Game 4.
That's one way to look at it, or you could say that this might have woken up the Cleveland Cavaliers, but the Celtics have been very good at home, and even if they lose tonight, they still have that home court advantage. Danny Roach out there in Cleveland. Hello, Dan.
Morning, fellas. How we doing? Hi, Fred.
Oh, you got shot out of a cannon today.
Why?
You got energy.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready to go.
He was up tweeting at 6:45. I mean, he's been up for a while.
What is he not ready to go?
I don't know. He just seems like he's shot out of a pistol.
By the way, first of all, congratulations on your Red Sox, Dan. You've got to be a happy camper.
Yeah, I know. They're playing, just like you would hope that they would play. And look at J.D. Martinez, Tony Maserati. Just love that signing, and it's been great to see him come through the way he's coming through. So. Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it. I like it a lot. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Did you shove it in Tony's face yesterday via tweet?
No, I didn't do that. I wouldn't do that to Tony.
You've got. I bet you've written like five of them and you've erased them because you would have felt mean if you had pressed tweet.
Yeah, a couple.
Okay, I kind of figured that.
But, the one thing you look at them, though, is, I mean, everyone, Alex Cora said, what did he want to do when he came here? He was the assistant coach or the bench coach of the Astros, and he wanted his team to change their approach. He wanted them to come out swinging. He wanted that top of the order with Betts, Benintendi, JD, and Hanley to go boom, boom, go out of the shooter, and they have. And it's just what Springer, Bregman, Altuve, and Correa did last year. So, he's got them to do what he wants them to do, and now if the pitching and the bullpen can hold up, I think, they're certainly well on their way. But he's, Alex Cora has come in and done what he's promised to change the approach of this offensive lineup, and just like the Astros, who led was second in the majors last year to the Yankees in home runs hit. That's what they're doing out of the shooting. I think that's a real positive sign if you're the Red Sox, especially with the bottom half of the lineup not really doing much all season long.
All right, so the Celtics were terrible Saturday night, and they lost by 30 points. You hear people like Rozier saying that they needed to get their asses kicked. Do you believe that?
Brad Stevens was caught off guard by those comments when someone told him about them yesterday, and he was kind of irritated, it looked, initially. But then, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing in these playoffs, because to me, the one first thing that stands out is the disparity in home and road games in the NBA playoffs. And, it's been blowouts both sides. When you're at home, you blow out a team, and when you're on the road, you get blown out. And that's what we saw in Game 3 and really in Games 1 and 2. So I think the Celtics did everything bad that they could possibly do, not being themselves, that, the core unit of Horford and Tatum and Rozier and Brown. They settled for jumpers early. They let the Cavs do what they wanted to do. The backdoor cuts were easy. Everything was easy for Cleveland, and I think that's what you heard yesterday out of the Celtics, besides, Jalen Brown saying they were embarrassed and Rozier saying, they needed that. I think they also said they need to make defensive adjustments, and then it's attitude. And Brad Stevens said that Cleveland played harder. And anytime you hear Stevens say that, I think that's the one good thing you have going into tonight, is you have Brad Stevens here to say, guys, simply stay the course. This is what we need to do. So I think you'll look for them to drive to the basket early, which they did in Game 1 and specifically in the third quarter of Game 2, and didn't do it all in Game 3. So I think that, you know, what you're going to see is a different Celtics team. Now, the question is, do they take that to a victory, or do they have a tight game like we saw in Game 4 in Milwaukee, and inevitably they lose and come home 2-2 in a brand-new series, which you said earlier, Fred.
So. You know what? I think that, there's been a lot, or almost too much made of the on the road during the playoffs, the Celtics team hasn't been that great, because I think the whole tone changed once Marcus Smart came back. And if you take a look, that Bucks series, you know, those first two games on the road, when Marcus Smart wasn't there, I think it's a completely different team. And the ones that they lost were close games once Marcus Smart came back. That's why I was so astounded by what I saw at Game 3. Like, literally nobody showed up, and there was almost no effort there. And I was wondering, like, is any of the, who do you give more credit to? Do you give credit to the Cavaliers for getting their guys involved, or do you just say the Celtics didn't defend the way that they normally do? They don't play Celtics defense on the other night, and that's what caused such a lopsided win.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're going to find out tonight. I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but that's exactly what it was. To me, it looked like the Celtics just didn't play defense.
If it sounds cliche, why even say it?
Well, they turned the ball over. You know, they didn't play D. They didn't do anything that the Celtics do. They didn't rebound. They didn't box out. They didn't do the simplest of things. So for me, that's a positive sign. But the factor here is LeBron James. You know, and we saw what he could do in Boston in the two different games. But here, distributed the ball and got his cast involved. And I think Love is the guy that can really take it to the Celtics. And once he gets going, and then Korver, and then Hill and Smith, you're on your way. So to me, if they come out and they're similar to that, you know, you're in trouble. That's the way I look at it, because if you woke up this Cleveland Cavalier veteran team, they're different than a younger Milwaukee team and a younger Sixers team, which, remember, they gave that game to the Celtics, basically, that went to overtime in Game 3 when, you know, J.J. Redick turned the ball over, Ben Simmons turned the ball over. So to me, I don't know if Cleveland's going to do that down the stretch. So to me, this Game 4, you know, is everything. We're going to find out if this Celtics team, if they pull this off, then, you know, I think they'll go on and win the series rather easily. But if they don't, you know, we could be looking at seven games here and a winner-take-all game seven.
Dan, you mentioned LeBron getting other people involved, and to me, obviously, that's the key. I'm not convinced George Hill and J.R. Smith can do what they did on Saturday night. If the Celtics take care of those two guys, then you limit the scoring options. You know the script. I think that's very important in the first quarter tonight.
I think they can do it at home. That's the thing that I really believe in the Cavaliers, because they're a veteran team. You know, they showed no energy, didn't feel like playing defense, especially in Game 1 and then eventually in Game 2. So here at home, they'll play defense, they'll play hard. So I think that those guys can hit these shots at home. And if they get going together as a team, they're going to be tough. I do think it'll be a much closer game, and I do think the Celtics will come out and play with much more purpose, much more determination. I think Jaylen Brown, I thought Jaylen Brown was horrible in the first quarter and in Game 3, as he said yesterday, that he was embarrassed by it.
Two points at the half, right?
Played better, yeah, and he was terrible out of the shoot. I mean, it's just like they didn't look like he. For the first time, I thought with that crowd and how loud it was in there, the first time the Celtics' young core looked really young and inexperienced. Like, they didn't know how to handle what was going on. And I think that led to confusion on defense. It led to confusion on offense and not getting Al Horford the ball when they adjusted to him. So now, to me, now it's Brad Stevens, who we all talk about and rave about as the coach of the Celtics. It's what adjustments he feels his team has to make, can make. What do they need to do better? What do they need to do here? They watched film yesterday. Al Horford said he was looking forward to watching it to see what they could correct. And they'll take it to the court tonight. And now that's going to be the big challenge. How do these young players respond around Horford and Morris and company? Is Tatum the same? He looks the same, but to me, it's Brown. If Brown gets off to a good start, gets that confidence going, and plays like he can play, then I think it might be a good night for the Celtics.
Well, Brad kind of hinted at a possible starting lineup change for Game 4, and I guess the one that would make the most sense is to, in place of Marcus Morris, possibly start Aaron Baines because of all the Tristan Thompson difficulty that they've been having over the past couple of games. Do you see him possibly doing that? It would free up Al Horford a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it's also to defend inside, you know what I mean, to make a stronger presence inside and not make things easy for the Cavaliers if they take it to the basket. And I think that would be the one initial thing. But I don't think it might be a good start for them, you know, to kind of get off to the start that they want to. But I just think that, you know, if it's Baines or if it's Morris, You know, again, to me, it's the other guys, and that's important. But I could see him definitely putting Baines in there in this situation to try to, you know, defend the middle and not give up anything early.
Because if you do that, then Tyronn Lue would probably have to put, like, Kevin Love on Al Horford. Wouldn't that open that up? And that's a matchup that you want if you're the Celtics.
Yeah. You know, and the one thing that I saw on the other side was Love against Smart several times. And, you know, I know Marcus Smart is a great defender and everything else, but they took advantage of that mismatch several times in Game 3. So, again, yeah, I mean, it's matchups and how they all match up. And if Baines is in there, maybe it creates some different looks for the Celtics and gets them going that way.
Listen, I don't blame the Cavaliers fans for not being very rowdy during Game 3. I mean, that was a boring game for anyone to watch, even if you're a Cavaliers fan. But is that just a weird crowd? Like, I mean, you've been to some games there at the arena. Does it seem like, I don't know, it just seems like a strange fan base, especially them knowing that this might be the end of it for LeBron James.
Yeah, I mean, I think that once they got going, I think they were real scared coming out, you know, initially with the Cavs, the way that they looked in the first two games. I thought they got it going pretty good in that, you know, end of the first into the second quarter. It got loud, really loud in there. You know, and I can't stand the guy who's on the mic just going defense and screaming and everything else. But they were pretty good. But the people you talk to around Cleveland, you know, everywhere you go, the talk is, you know, hey, you know, where are you from, Boston? Oh, boy, the Celtics looked really good and everything else. And it doesn't really matter anyway. LeBron won here like he said he was going to do, and he's out of here after this year. So I think a lot of people are looking at it like that right now as they sit here. So maybe that's part of it, too, that they're not as enthused about this team because of what's ahead in the future.
It's so weird, too, because there's really no perfect fit for LeBron James. I mean, when you look at all the places, I mean, in the East, there's really only one team that he would go to, and it would be the 76ers. And, I mean, there's obviously some difficulty. People think that it might stunt the growth of some of these younger players like Ben Simmons, and that it would turn Joel Embiid into a different type of player than he should be. And then you've got, you know, the Lakers, which seems weird. I don't think even with Paul George they would be a good enough team in the West. And then the Rockets. It just, I don't know what the hell's going to happen with him and where he's going to go after all this is done.
Right. And plus, you know, he'll have to have a coach like he has now where, you know, he misses a basket or commits a foul or does something wrong and then walks off the court and says, we need a timeout. And Tyronn Lue looks at him and says, oh, okay. And they call a timeout.
Right.
He needs to have those kind of coaches too. So I don't know where the heck he's going to end up after this year, but a lot of people around here feel like it's done in Cleveland.
All right. Now, Danny, you say you've been talking to people and telling them you're from Boston. Is that you're just hitting the streets?
Yeah, you know what? I actually went to a downtown restaurant too, Fred. I thought you'd be proud of me. I didn't go, you know, first couple days I went to the a couple chains, you know, the Texas Roadhouse, the usual places I go to.
No.
I went to a place called Mabel's last night for some really good barbecue down in the city. It was really good. Had a good time.
Now, did you go by yourself and cry?
No, my photographer, Mike Townsend, I let him choose, and it was nice. And then a couple guys from Channel 7, Greg Glass, their reporter, and their photographer, Trey, joined us. So it was nice.
How much cocaine did you do?
Not a lot.
Okay.
Diet cocaine.
Take that.
I understand.
Because everyone knows that you can't get that fattening cocaine. All right. Well, Danny Roach, what's on tap for you today? What time? You get to the arena in about 5 minutes?
No, we leave at 9:15. Shoot around this morning. Availability at 10:30. Then, you know, we'll put together some packages. Be on the early news starting at 5 on Channel 4. And then we're here for the game. It's good.
See, I saw a picture on Instagram. Were you at the baseball game with your daughter?
Yes. Last week I went, and you know, I bought a couple tickets. It was $23 on one of those sites, SeatGeek or Game Time or whatever, and sat and had a good time.
Yeah. So the kids still they want to spend time with you.
Yeah, not bad, huh?
Yeah, you must have some kind of magic going on.
Well, same with you, Freddie. You got that baseball connection going, so you're working it.
Yeah, it's every single day.
We had to work. No flip flops.
All right. Well, no flip flops.
Yeah. Don't wear them. It's not baseball.
I'm standing there 3 years ago at a Little League game. I can wear flip-flops.
No, not around baseball.
What do you wear, cleats?
Yeah, or turf shoes, you know.
For what? So you can
sneakers.
Stand there?
Sneakers, yeah. No flip-flops.
Why?
Not allowed.
All right, Danny. I appreciate everything that you do for us.
Love you guys.
All right, buddy.
See you, man.
Tom Brady. The word is coming out that he is not going to show up today. We can address that. 617-779-0985. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
985 the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Not good news if you are a fan of the Patriots. Something unprecedented happening as the third
phase
mm-hmm. of the OTAs is going on now. And Ian Rappaport is reporting what, Rich?
Okay, so this is a phase one and two are mostly just for workout purposes, but phase three is when the coaches are allowed on the field. It is 11. You can do 11 on 11s, and that's where real plays are being installed. And you can actually run plays. They're being taught. And this is something that Tom Brady has never missed. So there was a lot of speculation as to, hey, is this going to finally be the time that Tom Brady shows up? Rob Gronkowski possibly as well. But as far as Brady's concerned, you know, that competitor in him, you would think for at least this part of it, so he can get on the same footing as some of these new receivers while they're at the very birth of being able to work with some of these new guys that are on the team, you would think that maybe this would be the moment he would come back. And then there was Ian Rappaport's report just a few minutes ago.
As far as whether or not Tom Brady and Gronk will actually visit the Patriots, here's what we know on Brady. First of all, there's no firm word yet on whether or not he'll be there. But clearly, this is a very different offseason for Tom Brady. I've talked to several people close to him. At this point, they don't think is the key word there, that he will show for OTAs. At this point, maybe the bigger question is whether or not he will be there for mandatory minicamp, which for Tom Brady is something that sounds kind of crazy, but it does seem to be an open question now. Of course, we've known for some time that he would like a new contract. We now have known how hard last season was, and the Super Bowl, and the Malcolm Butler benching, all of those things still weighing on Tom Brady's mind. But we'll see if he actually shows up. And then similar situation for Rob Gronkowski, although maybe the contract situation is a little more developed in Gronkowski's case. I know the Patriots are open to a new sort of tweaked contract for him. That is something that is ongoing right now. We'll see if they do it in time for him to get to OTAs.
Okay, in fairness, after they were done with this, for 10 minutes, the show did what 90s rap song best encapsulates the Rams offseason. And they literally did it for 10 minutes.
Did they really?
Yes. And like one of the guys was insane in the brain, and he was like, what do you want out of me? But any way you slice this, this is not good.
Good morning, football.
Yeah. Good morning, May football. But yes, this is bad. And there's no other way to spin it. It's very bad. He, you know, this is a guy who prides himself on off-season workouts where he gets to know his receivers. I understand that he has, like, Edelman and the gang down to California.
Right, goes to the Yellowstone Club and plays over there.
Yeah, but this is not good. There's no way to spin it that it's good. It's a guy who's always put team first, and this shows you the new Tom Brady. This is the way he's going to be.
Yeah, and the Gronkowski part of it's interesting as well because from everything we were led to believe, it sounds like, not sounds like, Rob Gronkowski said it on Instagram, that he had met with Bill Belichick.
Yes.
And when he released that statement, you thought there was more than likely an understanding that Rob Gronkowski was going to be a good soldier. And then in the end, they were going to make him happy, get him the pay increase that he so craves. And if he's not there, that's concerning as well. But obviously nothing like Tom Brady.
No, Gronkowski said he's coming back. And I would have to imagine he would go to this thing. John, go ahead.
What did Rappaport actually just say? What did he just say?
He said his sources said that more than likely he's not going to be at OTAs this morning.
So more than likely his sources are saying he won't be there.
Yep, which we'll know for sure in about like 30 minutes.
So he basically said nothing.
No, he said that the people around Tom Brady say he's not going to be there.
So isn't Rappaport the team spokesman, the Brady spokesman?
No, that's Mike Reese.
No, it's Rappaport. Rappaport gets all his stuff from the team. He's not the guy on the ground. Schefter's got more of an inside track on Brady.
Well, you can rank the reporters based on how much you want to hear what they have to say. But, I mean, Ian Rappaport just came out and said he talked about people around Brady. And that's what a reporter does. A reporter talks to people, gathers information, and then reports it.
Listen, he might end up being wrong. I mean, these guys are wrong all the time, but I mean, he said his sources around him said he's not going.
He's saying, what did Rappaport say? And what Rappaport did is he talked to people around Brady, and they said they don't believe he's going to come.
Yep.
What else do you want the guy to do? That's what he does for a living. What, do you want him to crawl into Brady's skin and follow him around?
I actually
want to
know what that guy would have thought if Brady didn't show up, because it sounds like he doesn't believe Brady's going to miss this.
No, he said no, because what's happening with this guy is that this guy can't, like, his mind can't wrap around the fact that something might be wrong. These are the same people that denied everything in the Wickersham article. These are the people that, watched the end of Tom versus Time and didn't think anything was kind of weird about that.
I agree. There's a significant segment of the Patriots population that does this.
That's in denial.
That's in a massive amount of denial. This is once again, the later we get into the summer, the bigger the statement is.
Absolutely.
So the biggest question is mandatory minicamp. I just looked it up as June 5th. That's mandatory minicamp. And let's see if Brady shows up there.
Him missing this is counter to everything he's done throughout his whole career.
Yes.
Sure. Ben, go ahead.
Hey, Ben.
Oh, hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Hey, sorry about that. So, listen, I don't know why Brady thinks this is the year to basically act like this, coming off an MVP year, not being a part of the team. He is basically going against everything he said in Tom versus Time, saying, you know, you better give everything to play against me because I'm giving you my all. I think the Mike Reese article you guys touched upon was spot on, saying if Jimmy G was still here, he's the first one in there today.
Yeah, sure, of course.
There's no pressure on him. There's no heir apparent sitting there. He's still upset about the Super Bowl.
He's got the insurances from Kraft that he's the guy.
Wildly underpaid for his entire career.
Which brings us to the Krafts. Pay him. Just pay him. Pay Tom Brady.
Well,
he's worth it. Give him the Drew Brees contract.
The Krafts have enabled him, because the Krafts last season took his side and basically said, this is your team.
The other side of the argument, though, is, Rich, if you do pay him, regardless of how you work the salary cap, the magic has been Brady being underpaid allows you to spread depth in your organization by paying more people who are good to come in and play.
Okay, who do they need this season? Like, I mean, like, what more do you need to get right now? You're set and you're under the cap. You can afford to pay Brady the $25 million a year that he wants, the Drew Brees contract.
I'm sure they would like a couple extra guys at linebacker. I'm sure they'd like a couple extra guys along the defensive line.
Yes,
I'm sure that
these depth. But regardless, this is a change in attitude for him. And I'm not positive this has everything to do with money. I think he's sick of the organization. And I think he's making a statement that he didn't like the way that he was treated. I think money, if a factor, is not the main factor, and he's pissed off, and he doesn't want to be around the team until he absolutely has to be.
But it's a huge factor. And don't you think that if the Kraft sat down and said, listen, let's bust out this Drew Brees contract, don't you think he would be showing up for this? Or
no.
Do you think that there would be another part about the whole Alex Guerrero thing?
Yes. I think that he feels that he has been wronged by the team, and I think we know the Krafts have gone out of their way to make it clear that Tom Brady is the number one priority of this organization. It's not Bill Belichick. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's the money. I'm sure he'd like the money, but I don't think he's holding out for money. I think he's pissed off at the organization.
There are a lot of different things. I think money's part of it, though.
Sure, money's part of it.
Then what fixes it? What does Tom Brady want?
I don't know.
I keep telling you guys what fixes it. It'll never happen.
Guerrero back in the locker room?
Guerrero being welcomed into the Patriots locker room. Guerrero not being a persona non grata, but free to work on whoever he wants to work on. That would solve everything.
More than money.
It's not going to happen. Belichick will never let it happen, but I think that would solve, 90% of this?
Yes. Absolutely. And Belichick really can't let Guerrero back in the locker room.
No, it's a power thing. I understand that.
Right.
And by the way, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Tom Brady's near here. This isn't like he's overseas and he's, once again hanging out with the prince somewhere.
Yeah.
He's in New York, according to his Instagram.
He wasn't even at the royal wedding. What a loser.
What? Wow. I'm shocked.
James Corden was there.
Well.
No was wonder. He really?
Oh, yeah.
Corden was there.
Did he do a pratfall?
No, he just started singing show tunes.
Right. He did carpool karaoke off a cliff.
Did he say, hey, I'm married?
Meghan Markle, bust out a tune for us.
Oh, yeah, he's married with kids.
Yeah.
He loves his wife.
Yep.
As a friend. All right, we will be back in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
As far as whether or not Tom Brady and Gronk will actually visit the Patriots, here's what we know on Brady. First of all, there's no firm word yet on whether or not he'll be there. But clearly, this is a very different offseason for Tom Brady. I've talked to several people close to him. At this point, they don't think think is the key word there, that he will show for OTAs. At this point, maybe the bigger question is whether or not he will be there for mandatory minicamp, which for Tom Brady is something that sounds kind of crazy, but it does seem to be an open question now. Of course, we've known for some time that they would like a new contract. We now have known how hard last season was, and the Super Bowl and the Malcolm Butler benching, all of those things still weighing on Tom Brady's mind.
985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and I wonder whose side are people on, Brady's or Belichick's at this point? If Brady doesn't show up today, are you pissed at Belichick because of this Guerrero situation and the environment that Brady feels is, you know, detrimental and not nice, and that he wants to be appreciated? Or do you blame Brady for being kind of a baby about it all?
I just blame somebody not stepping in, and that probably being the Crafts, and not working something out between the two entities. That's really all it comes down to.
Well, you're dealing with someone that, I mean, then you're changing. Well, first of all, they conceded to what Brady wanted by getting rid of Garoppolo. So they've done that already. And then you're asking them to totally undermine the guy that's had an unprecedented amount of success in the NFL. Yes. Well,
that's the other part of it. You act as if the Crafts are neutral here. What we've seen is they're not, or at least it doesn't look that way.
Well, no, we know they're not.
Well, that's just it. How can you say the Crafts can broker a peace between the two sides when they're not?
Well, because that's their job.
I understand.
Because that's their job. That's what they're supposed to do.
I get what you're saying, but evidence suggests that they're leaning one side instead of the other.
Sure. Well, maybe you sit them down and you figure out a way to try to make. Do we know that?
Yes.
Apparently, according to reports, it wasn't. This wasn't a. This was a long time ago, and it was a short meeting. And now,
fine, because
it didn't work, so you got to try again.
I don't know exactly what you want them to do.
Maybe say, "All right, Bill, listen. Here's the deal: we can't have Guerrero, or, you know, Tom. We can't have Guerrero in the locker room 24/7. Can we make a compromise? We'll pay you this amount of money, but can we have it so you are allowed to have him as your personal trainer, but he is not allowed to tell other players what to do while he's in our facility. Something like that.
Well,
there he can meet halfway.
It's not that simple.
I don't know if it's that simple, but somebody has to do something to step in because it's not working what's happening
now.
You
don't think that they've tried?
According to reports, they sat down once.
Okay,
that's
so you think the Crafts are just sitting around and enjoying all this stuff and just saying, well, you guys
handle
it.
Whatever they're doing has not worked.
The organization has painted themselves into a corner for the next two or 3 years.
Right, because they sided with Brady.
Right, and you really need to fix this fast. Because the window, people talk about windows. Now there really is one. I mean, Brady's 40. I mean, this window isn't going to stay open. There is a finite period of time he can play.
Yeah,
this is it here. We're in the home stretch.
And you
got to maximize these years.
And you had all these years with Brady and Belichick, kumbaya, and now they're at an age where they both feel like they're not. There's a line in the sand, and they don't want to cross it.
Well, if I had to pick which side I'm on, I'm going to go to Team Bill on this one.
All right, but and I would agree with you, but however, that's not how the Crafts look at it. Ron, go ahead.
Hey, listen, guys. I think we can all agree that the reason that, you know, the Patriots got rid of Garoppolo is because they looked at having Brady as giving them a window of 2 to 3 years to win now. But all this stuff that he's doing, all this toxic things, and, you know, in the locker room and everything, he's not even in the locker room, but you know what I mean. That completely defeats the purpose. There's no potential way to win now with Brady acting the way he's acting. I think you got to get rid of him, cut bait, get what you can for him,
right,
make a trade.
Let's stop.
You laugh.
I do.
You know what? Yeah, but you know what? Honestly, Fred, how many more?
I'm not laughing at you.
I'm laughing. It's
me. That's Rich.
Okay.
Blame
right,
Rich.
Well, Rich, how many more years do you honestly think Brady can give you at a high level of play? Honestly.
I can't predict with Tom Brady. All I know is he was the MVP last year.
Be conservative. Be conservative, Rich, and say, all right, 2 to 3, all right?
Sure.
That's like a relatively fair estimate, okay? Maybe it's 4, maybe it's 1, who knows? But 2 to 3. So 2 to 3 years.
The Crafts will never trade him.
They cut that.
Him.
But isn't that the problem?
Yes, the problem is they have Garoppolo. Yes, that's right. That is true. The problem is they got rid of Garoppolo, and then there's no option. Now you certainly couldn't do anything with Brady. If they had Garoppolo, this would be a conversation you could have. Do you move Brady? He's at the end of his career if you believe you have the heir apparent. But when the Crafts made the move and told Belichick to get rid of Garoppolo, all the power went to Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I'm Bill Belichick and I'm sitting there, I'm saying, well, you made me get rid of it. And you know what? Screw it. No. Tom's the quarterback. You've made it a situation where I got nothing I can do about it. He's the quarterback, and he wants this nut Guerrero in, and I won't let him. And the Crafts can come in and they can fire in Brimstone, and then Bill Belichick can go, then fire me.
Yeah, fire me. Then get rid of me.
Yeah, fire me.
Yep.
What are you going to do? Like, if you're the Crafts, there's nothing you can do. You cut everything out from under them. They love Brady like a son. I mean, you know that. They're obsessed with Tom Brady.
Of course. And that's why they would never trade him.
No, because they can't now. Mm-hmm. And of course they'd never trade him, because they could have. If they would have kept Garoppolo.
Yeah, it's too late to do anything.
Yeah.
As I said,
they took that option off the table.
In a corner here. Right. They are stuck with what they have and who they have and unable to make a change.
So Brady's got nothing to worry about.
Yep.
And Belichick has got nothing to worry about because they're not going to fire him. So, I mean, both of them are sitting there. The Crafts put themselves in a position where there's nothing that's easily rectifiable.
We're going to have Bert on at 8:20, by the way.
Yeah, he's too busy licking his chops for that MMQB job.
I think that, did Peter King just put in his last, just filed his last report?
And he said, just finished my last report, time for a beer or three. I said, Peter, you dog. You can have three beers?
As long as it's a frosty microbrew.
Oh, you got to believe it's a frosty microbrew. That's part of the reason he loved traveling so much. Is he would just go into town and he would go like, whoa, 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 Rolling Rock.
I think Bert will move away. Bert will move away from beer talk. What do you think? He's not going to do that. That's not Bert.
Oh, you can do that from anywhere.
Yeah.
You can write MMQB from the moon.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Bert, you think Bert will discuss the craft beers that he's sampled? And
he does. Yeah. He does Periscopes and he sits there with a frost beer.
Oh, I've not seen that.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, it's a loose sitch.
Okay.
It's like he's hanging with his friends.
My mistake. I have not witnessed that.
Yeah, he's hanging with his boys.
Fair enough.
He's like, come on, open up a big microbrew with your boy.
All right.